I knew when I planned the sermon, which was before today, but when thinking about this throughout before this week, I knew I wanted to talk about this subject because I was planning on being tired and being weary. I talked about, preached before about what to do with doubt, because all of us have struggled with doubt in our lives. And I'm a good, if there is a good example of that, I guess, I'm a good example of somebody that doubts. And I knew this, planning ahead for this week, that I'd be tired. I knew we were having the carnival today on Tuesday. We took the teens to Cedar Point. And I knew before I went on the trip, I knew I was going to be tired. I was thinking about when Brother Wendell comes and sings. There was an infamous trip where Pastor and Brother Wendell took us to Cedar Point, and it was a lot of fun, and he was a lot of fun. And his motto, which I have adopted, and I'm going to say I might need to change, but his motto would be, if I can fit in the seat, if I can fit on the ride, I'm going to ride that ride. And now, today, they don't make you wait in line to see. They put the chair right out there in the front of the line. And if you can get in that seat, and of course, you know, that's my first worry, is if I can fit in the seat, then I want to ride on the ride. But I have to say, after Tuesday, I need to change my rule, because there were some rides that I definitely could fit in, but I should not have ridden, and I'm still shaking. All day Tuesday, Chantel and I kept saying, we're getting too old for this. And we left Anna with Pastor Pa and Patty, and when we got home at the end of the day, he said, I'm getting too old for this. I said, we said that all day, but not about you. We said it about us. Weariness, being weary in doing good. With the verses that we read, all you that labor, these are people that are working hard. They're not tired because they were partying all night or because they have bad habits or they were committing sin. They were hard workers. They were wanted to do something for Christ. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And so real quick tonight, I knew I'd be tired, and I wanted to share with you, many I know worked hard today, and many of you work hard every day, and I started to say, I knew I'd be tired, but I'm tired for a few different reasons than I was when I planned to say this, but it still applies. The first one I want you to think about, what do you do when weariness comes? It's not from sin, it's not from doubt, it's from trying to do what's right, it's from trying to serve God, and other things come into our life, situations, people hurt us. What do we do with that? David talked about it in Psalm 6. He confessed. He said both what was true to him and he said how he felt. He said in Psalm 6, I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. Talked about being exhausted and worn out. Both from choices that he had made and choices that others in his life had made. Rebellion from those that followed after him. And he confessed he was honest with himself and he was honest with God. Now, he didn't cry enough that he was drowning, but that's how he felt. So he said how he felt. I was reading, in every area of life, we need to be more honest. I was reading a story about a married couple's first fight. Is usually sometime during the honeymoon, but more and more are reporting their first fight is about their pictures that they put on Facebook or Instagram or whatever they share with as soon as they go on the honeymoon. The first fight is about, we want the perfect honeymoon picture, and they usually get into a fight because something's wrong. I don't do honeymoon pictures anymore, but every time we try to take a picture of my child, there's about 15 or 20 that we delete because they're just not the perfect one. But we all have that, we struggle with honesty. We struggle with just saying, this is how it feels, this is where I am, I'm weary, I'm groaning. I made my bed to swim. I'm discouraged. I'm tired. He confessed it to God. Confessed it to God. Again, in Psalm 23, a psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd. And then in verse 3, it says, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. If Jesus is our shepherd and the Lord is our shepherd, then he should be the one that we go to restore and to revive, to quicken us. To bring us new life. It's not somebody that's backsliding into sin. It's not somebody that's trying to do wrong and get as far away from God as they can get. It's somebody that's trying to follow the shepherd, but they still need that restoration. It's somebody that feels like they should have it all together, but they still don't. And he's the one that restores it. The Lord restores my soul. The verses that we read, go to the right source for your rest. I was glad to be in church today. Pastor graciously said, let's keep the kids in. I know that wasn't, not all of us felt the same way about it, but I got to sit in church today, And the people got to get ready for the carnival and get all that stuff ready. And I thought the kids did an excellent job being in church today. And it was weird for me to be sitting on the front row of church. And the sermon was wonderful. I got convicted by the sermon, but I got convicted before the sermon started. First, I got offended. And then I got convicted because I got offended. I'll tell you what it was. Brother Wendell sat up here, and he said something that he said many times before. And I've always agreed with him and said, well, yeah, that's true. He talked about what do people do without Jesus? I don't know how people make it through a day without Jesus. And then he said something. Again, at first I thought, well, it's a weird thing to say. And then I got convicted about it. He said, what do they do? He said, do they lean on their spouse? Do they lean on their kids? What do they do without Jesus? And I thought, well, why would he say that? And then I started thinking about some of the situations in my own life where Jesus says, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. Give me the result of your labor. Give me the result of the heartache and the heavy laden, the weariness. Give that to me, and I'll give you rest. And Wendell said this thing, and I said, well, I have Jesus, but sometimes I don't go to Jesus with the things that are bothering me. Sometimes I take that, I'd lean on my spouse, I'd lean on my kids. And I thought, that's probably affected some of my relationships because I'm not leaning on Jesus. There's things in my life where I react and I don't take it to God. And instead, I take it to somebody that wasn't designed to handle it. And then I'm mad about the results. I was also going to warn you, I knew I was going to be tired, so things that normally wouldn't be this choked up about, I did get convicted, but I'm tired too. The things in our life, we look at a situation and say, why is it so difficult? Why am I having this conflict? Well, Jesus said, I'm the source of your rest. I'm the source of the easy yoke. If you want a lighter burden, go to the right person. You know, if you have a, like Brother Wendell said, he named the nearest and dearest to our hearts, and he said, why would you go to those people when you have Jesus? And he's right. And again, I got convicted thinking about it. There's probably somebody in your life that you could go to tonight and say, I put something on you that wasn't mine to give to you. It's the burden I should have turned over to God. And that affects us. It affects our relationships. And again, it's not somebody that's in sin and doing wrong. It's somebody that has the result of their labor, and then they go to the wrong source. So go to Jesus. Go to the source for that rest. Go to the source for that relief of anguish and bitterness and all the things that come from trying to do what's right, from trying to serve God. Know that God won't forget and is keeping track and sees the labor that we do for him. Again, it should be obvious to us, but sometimes we go through life and we forget that all that we do, the work that we do for God is for him, and maybe somebody else will never notice, but God does. God sees. In Hebrews, the Bible says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. A labor of love means you're doing something for somebody that can't do anything for you in return. A labor of love is saying, I'm going to help this person, and I hope they're not able to repay it. Saying, I'm going to help this person because God loved me. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Jesus talked about it when he told the parable of the sheep and the goats, and those that had helped people, those that had clothed people and fed people, and he said, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. God is watching when the work that we do for him. Again, that when we go to Christ for rest and he gives us the energy to serve, God does not forget the labor that we do for him. Again, go to the source for our joy. And John, the Bible says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, I want you to come to me and remember that I'm your friend. He said, you know, he talked about being servants and friends. He says, you're my friends. I'm your friend. And I want to give you that joy. And he said, just because my physical presence is leaving, I want you to continue to ask and to continue to receive the joy that comes from God. Ask and you shall receive. Ask God for strength. The book of Isaiah talks about waiting on the Lord. I'm going to start in Isaiah 40. It ends with wings as eagles. But in verse 28, the Bible says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When I was reading this verse again, and I was trying to put some context into it, and I've always heard that verse, and I thought about eagles. I was going to say I went on a rabbit trail, but I got distracted by reading about eagles. And I always knew that they lost feathers and got feathers again. And some people thought, well, that they have to lose all their feathers to get new feathers. And then somebody else said, well, no, they can't lose all their good feathers at the same time. They have to lose some and then gain some. But the fact is, all of us have times in our life when we need to work to soar and to fly, and other times when we can't fly as high as we might have been able to before. But we all can wait on the Lord, and we all can realize our strength comes from him. And sometimes you do get a new feather, and you can do something new that you've never done before. And sometimes you have an old feather, and you have to wait for it to fall out. And in all those times, whether you're a new feathered eagle or an old feathered eagle, God's the one that gave you the feathers. And God's the one that gave you the opportunity. And God's the one that says, I want you to go a little bit higher. And God's the one that says, now here's where you just coast for a while and soar and be that example to somebody else. There's feathers of zeal and passion that somebody that just got saved, they got new feathers. And there's feathers of wisdom and experience. And they've been following and flying and trying to follow Christ for years and years and years. And they're both an inspiration, and they're both something that we need. And we all have different size feathers and different age feathers, but God gives us what we need, and he doesn't take them all away at the same time. He needs the old ones, and he needs the young ones. He needs the experience, and he needs the youth and passion, and God uses all of them. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And again, when we get weary, because there's plenty of verses in the Bible that says you're going to get this way. Jesus, talking to people that were trying to work hard and serve him, said, you got to come to me. Come unto me. Ask Jesus, instead of for your love, ask Jesus for his love for other people. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Again, we're all guilty, but I got convicted again. Am I loving people because I want to love them, because I love them, or am I loving people because God loves them? Am I showing the love of God to that person, or am I showing just what I happen to feel in that moment? And most of the time, I if I was honest, I could love them more because I know God has more love for them than I am able to give. And earlier in Philippians, Paul said, this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ under the glory and praise of God. Again, what's our evidence that we're trusting Christ? What's our evidence that we're loving people the way that Jesus loved them? The people around us. Truth, kindness, meekness, being honest, and having integrity and having the character to say, this is how I feel, but God told me I'm supposed to show his love. I'm supposed to show his mercy. I am full and wearied, but God loves you more than I possibly can. So I'm the conduit. I'm here to show you the love of God, not the love of me. Be filled with that fruit, the fruit of righteousness. And then remind yourself and remind others that the work you do for God is never empty. The Bible uses the word vain. When I was a kid growing up in church, there was a sign above the door. When you walk out of the church, it was a scripture verse, and it said 1 Corinthians 15:58. It just had the reference, didn't have the verse. So for many years, I just looked at it. It was an abbreviated little plaque, and I would just look at those weird numbers and wonder, I wonder what that is. It was a challenge to everybody that walked out of that church building from that verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And again, so much of what we say our life is emptiness. Pastor talked about it this morning. A lot of the things that we go through life and we have to do all these different things at the end of the week, at the end of the year, we could have just as easily not done them. Like they didn't matter at all. But then there's other things that everything changes in a minute. And everything's different. Because that thing has happened. And when we look at our life, the things that we do for God, those things matter. They might not look like they always do, but it mattered for somebody. Again, it made a difference for somebody's life. And you may not see the result of that right away. But it doesn't mean it's empty. That doesn't mean it's in vain. Your labor is not in vain. There will be a reward. It's not as if all we do is live this life and then we die. There is more to life than this life. And the reward is not necessarily in the same timetable as the work. It almost never is. There's always a time of sowing and a time of reaping, both for good and for bad. And just because you don't get the results of your sin right away doesn't mean it's not sin. And just because you don't get the results of your labor right away doesn't mean that it's not profitable and good to serve God and work for God. Both are true. Just because you don't get punished right away doesn't mean you're not doing wrong. And just because you don't get rewarded right away doesn't mean you're not doing right. There's a time of sowing and a time of reaping. And then the last one, and I'll be done. I plan on being done early, but we'll be done. Remind yourself, remind those around you. And again, I was talking about the eagle. All of us we're at different stages in our life. We're going to have to fly together and remind each other that one person may have forgotten this truth and they need to hear it again, and one person may have never heard it and they need to hear it for the first time. So remind yourself, because you might have forgotten this, but then remind somebody else as well. There is approval from God and there is promotion from God. There's a parable that we talked about. It's in it's in Matthew and Luke, about the parable of the talents or the pounds. Remember, the master came and he gave so many pounds or so many talents to one servant, and they took them and doubled it and brought back and said, your 5 pounds brought back 5 more, or I took the 10 and I brought back 10 more. And the phrase was used, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, thou have authority over 10 cities. That's in Luke. And then in Matthew it says, well done, good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And again, it talks about God has given you something. It might be the ability to tell people about Jesus. It might be the ability to tell people what God's done for you. It might be to give a testimony. It might be able to sing a song. I wasn't joking. Wendell convicted me today. And again, I was in a unique place, and I'm not normally here to receive it. And God used that in my life. And again, I didn't tell him that, but that was him sowing a seed of conviction into my life. God's approval is who we're trying to serve. Again, the servant came to the master, and he said, here's what I did with what you gave me. And the master said, you did so well with what was so little, I'm going to give you much more than you can imagine. 10 cities, or I'm going to make you ruler over many things. I'm going to return on the investment that you've made. And again, only the master can do that. So when we get to that point in our life, we can turn it back over to God and say, here's what I did with that little thing that you gave me. Again, the verse from those that had served Christ, those that had done unto the least of them, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto them. And the other also was also true, that when you did not do those things, you did it not unto Jesus. Pick something in your life. Say, all right, I know what to do with when I get tired. I know what to do. I know who to trust, and I know the source to go to. Pick something small in your life, like those servants that got the 5 talents or the 10 pounds, and say, all right, this is the small thing that I've been given. This is the small truth that God has given me to deliver to somebody else. This is the person that God's put in my life. Again, we got a lot of little kids running around here, and every now and then one will just randomly walk up to you, and they'll start a conversation. That's a little thing, a little person that God has put in your life for a few minutes, and you get to decide whether you show them your patience and your love in those few minutes that for some reason you have their attention. Maybe they want to show you their piece of candy, or they want to tell you a story about something that happened to them. And for just a few minutes, you have a small talent or a small pound, whatever it is, and the master has chosen to give you a few minutes with them. And you get to decide what you do with that thing, whether you give them the love of God, the patience that God has, the understanding and truth that God has, or whether you ignore it or give them your own. One truth, one person, one attitude, one word. Again, any of these are convicting in my own life. God has chosen to give you this time, this moment, this word. He says, what are you going to do with it? This little thing that I give you, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to invest in that person? How are you going to invest that truth in somebody else? Faithful in the little things. Go to God. Say, all right, I know what to do when I'm weary. Now here's what this little thing that you've given me, this little amount of time, this person, this truth, what do you want me to do with it? And promise God that you'll be faithful with those little blessings and seek to please him. Because he's the one that is, will not forget. He's the one that is aware of our labor. He is the one that is the source of our rest. And he is the one that will give us our reward in heaven. Come unto me. Come unto Jesus, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And again, if we just follow that verse, if we just follow what the song that was sung about, if we put God in his place, a lot of the conflict that we have, a lot of the frustration, anger, bitterness that we feel would go to its right place. It would be delivered to where it needs to go, and we could serve God if we just follow what he told us to do. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for a place of conviction. Thank you for a place of prayer. Thank you for a place of grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the people that were able to be influenced today. Thank you for every word that was said. Thank you for every bit of encouragement that we can give to one another. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the work, the labor that has gone on just in this place today in this last week. I pray, Lord, that you'd bless this time of invitation, that if we do find ourselves weary or tired, that we'd know where to take that we'd know what to do with it, and that if we could be that example to somebody else, we'd be that example of trusting in what you have done for us in the past, and have the zealousness and faith to trust you for what you can do in the future, and to rest in you. Help us, Lord, to do that tonight. Bless our invitation. If there's any here tonight that are still bearing the burden of their sin, they're still under the condemnation and the punishment and the eternal damnation of their sin, Lord, help them not carry that burden anymore. Help them come forward tonight. We can show them from the Word of God. They can know for sure they have a home in heaven. They can trust Jesus as their Savior. So bless our invitation. Bless all that we do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.